This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Chanel for you on a Monday morning. Holy Toledo, October the 5th already? We are moving along. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday, October the 5th, the first Monday in October. The Supreme Court is in session, thank you. In a few minutes, we will be talking just about that with Elizabeth Slattery of the Pacific Legal Foundation. The new session of the Supreme Court, only 8 justices. Is that going to screw things up? Will it present problems? We're going to talk about that with Elizabeth Slattery in just a few minutes. And President Trump may be on his way back to the White House today. We are going to see about that. Will he make a quick recovery? And will it affect his chances to be reelected? Well, we're going to talk about all of that and more with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, His Eminence, Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that. And Florida's Hispanic community gathering around Donald Trump. We're going to talk a little bit about the chances of his winning the Sunshine State. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you on Friday the top 10 best colleges for free speech. We're going to give you today the top 10 worst colleges for free speech. There's a lot that could have been crowded into the top 10. So stay tuned for that as well. Well, is President Trump going to be back in the White House today? I think there's a good chance. He looked pretty good, did he not? He gave that video. And then he was tooling around in that limo of his, much to the chagrin of the media. Did you know that there's a little pool of reporters that follow him around? They were outraged because he didn't tell them he was going to get in the limo and go down the street. There's supposed to be something about always following him around to make sure he's okay. And he didn't let them know, and away he went. So, you're not going to do that unless you feel pretty good. So we're hopeful that he will be back, which means there's a good chance he will indeed keep his appointment in debate 2 with sleepy Joe Biden. And I guess based on everything I have seen from that debate, the first one, last Tuesday, most people, I think, did not credit Donald Trump with a victory in that. Mm. I mean, we can argue about who won. I don't think either one of them came off that well. But there's a new poll out that shows, if you believe in these things, NBC, Wall Street Journal poll, that shows Trump, since the debate, has lost about 6 or 7 points to Biden. So maybe that was a factor.
I don't think there was a clear winner up or down on either side, so I don't know why the polls would have jumped. As far as the car ride, I personally think that was a conspiracy there. I think that Donald wanted to slip away from the doctors and grab a Big Mac somewhere.
You know, I didn't think of that. Now that I think about it, so there was a Big Mac. I mean, there was a McDonald's down the street.
So you leave the press behind because they'll tell.
He went over there to get a Big Mac. Yeah. He just pretended that he was interested in the crowd then. He wanted to
eat. Can you imagine working the drive-thru?
Wouldn't that be something?
Give me a Big Mac.
Is that supposed to be that actor playing Donald Trump? Do you ever watch Saturday Night Live anymore?
Oh, you talking about Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. He played him again. And apparently, he was pretty rough on him, as usual. Well, he hates him.
Oh, yeah.
He hates Trump. Oh, Alec Baldwin hates Trump. And his brother, Steve Baldwin, loves Trump. It's funny how that family...
That's how family goes. Hey, that's most families. Don't look at, you know, that's
right.
My family. That's my family.
Family, too. Yeah. I've got... well, I come from eight, so you can imagine all of the political spectrums we have. I've got a couple of people that cannot stand the Donald, and I've got some that might lay down their lives for him.
Do you know on dating apps that people actually put on their bio, if you're a Trump fan, move on?
Yes.
They do.
I know they do, because they cannot talk about the issue.
No.
I don't know that there's ever been, we've talked about this before, there's never been a presidential election that I can remember in a long time. That's a long time. Where you couldn't talk to somebody about it without completely losing a friendship, even if it was a relative.
I think half those are sour grape Hillary fans, you know?
Yeah.
They don't like Trump because he beat Hillary. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. These are people that we'll never forget. Remember all of those celebrities?
The crying.
No. At the beginning, before Trump.
Oh, sure.
Oh, please run, Donald. Remember?
Yeah.
They were all laughing. Oh, please run.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh, boy, did he ever get the last laugh on them. And they've never forgiven him.
I remember Tom Hanks, before the election even got close, and he was talking about Trump, and Tom Hanks said, please, come on. Trump is never going to be president.
It was a shock. And, you know, to go back and remember how CNN reported it when he got enough electoral votes, and MSNBC, and even some people on Fox News. I remember Chris Wallace was on Fox News, as he was, of course, in the debate.
Yeah, it's a good thing they weren't reporting, CNN wasn't reporting that near a bridge, because they would have jumped off.
I tell you, there would have been some suicides. There would have been some suicides. So here we go with Donald Trump. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said that everybody's optimistic Trump will be able to return to the Grand House, the White House, today. He spent a few days there at Walter Reed. They say that his health improved overnight, and he's ready to get back, quote, to a normal working schedule. Here's Meadows. He said, spoke to the president this morning. He continued to improve overnight and is ready to get back to a normal working schedule. We'll meet with his doctors and nurses this morning to make further assessments. By the way, did you see that collection of doctors that came out on the lawn to talk?
Mm-hmm.
There was about seven or eight of them in there. I thought all of them were going to... Fortunately, we only got, I think, a couple of them that... needed to talk about
it. Did you see the photos of him working in the hospital? I mean, he's sitting at a desk doing work and stuff. And
I believe it.
I sent him a message. I sent to Donald a message.
Well, I'm sure he read it.
I told him, I said, listen, with all the stuff you've had to go through and all these long people, you know, with the fake, the BS, impeachment and all that crap, I said, take a couple of days off, for crying out loud. You're in the hospital. Take a couple of days off. If you need somebody to look after the country, call me. I'll run it for a couple of days. I said, in 2 days, I'll get Nancy Pelosi to quit.
Yeah, and you won't charge him any salary, just like Trump. He doesn't take a salary. You'll just do that out of your love for the country.
Just pay for my airfare, that's all.
That's wonderful. That is so noble of you.
I understand.
You're bringing me to tears.
They serve a heck of a lunch and dinner at the White House.
All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back... Elizabeth Slattery is going to talk to us about the opening session of the Supreme Court.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop,
in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. The first Monday in October. Whenever I hear that term, the first Monday in October, I think there was a movie made about the Supreme Court with that title. We are delighted to have Elizabeth Slattery. She is a senior legal fellow at the Pacific Legal Foundation, and she's co-host of DIST. Now, that's a podcast about dissenting opinions at the Supreme Court. And boy, oh boy, Elizabeth, that would be interesting. I bet that's a full-time job.
It certainly is. It's a brand new podcast, and we're excited to dig in and talk about dissent at the Supreme Court.
Wow. Wow. Well, the way I look at it, we've got, first of all, we've only got the eight. And I would say we got four conservatives, three liberals, and maybe one moderate. I would have said John Roberts was a conservative, but not anymore. I think he's much like Anthony Kennedy and Sandra Day O'Connor, where he can go either way. In fact, I think there is some political in him when he makes some of his opinions. And I think that's rather sacrilegious, personally, but just that's kind of the way I feel. In fact, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think that since there's only eight, and we, you know, God forbid we have a tie, do you think John Roberts might actually steer the court towards not having a tie if they're going to hear any cases before they get a ninth justice?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, if you look back to when the court only had eight justices, in the term when Justice Scalia passed away, they generally tried to come to, you know, compromises. And so there were only a few cases in that term that ended up tying 4-4. Now, of course, the situation we have today is we're less likely to see a tie because we have five typically conservative votes and three more liberals. I think, you know, Chief Justice Roberts gets a little bit of a bad rap. I wouldn't call him a liberal vote. I would say that I think sometimes he is keeping the legitimacy of the court, his perspective, you know, sometimes putting that ahead of how he might have voted if he were not the Chief Justice, if he were just an associate justice.
Well, do you think that's right? Why don't you vote the right way? I mean, are you now, depending on where you are, making a decision like that? That seems rather unfair.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer if we had nine Clarence Thomases on the Supreme Court, nine justices who voted the way they think the law should be, who were willing to throw out old cases because they were wrong at the time that they were decided and they're wrong today, rather than, you know, justices who you know, put the legitimacy of the court or their perceived legitimacy of the court above.
Right. The fire. Right. So do we have, Elizabeth, some pretty important cases on the docket right now?
We do. All eyes will be court a week after the election. Justices are going to hear a case involving Obamacare. This is the seventh time a case stemmed from Obamacare has reached court. It's the Full Employment Act.
Elizabeth, excuse me for interrupting you. You are bleeding in and out. I don't know if it's your phone or it could be something here, but I think it might be your phone. So let me ask you again about that. Are there some cases that we ought to make note of and worry a little bit about without having a ninth justice?
Yes. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, great. Well, of course, Obamacare is coming to the court for a seventh time. We're going to see the oral argument in that case the week after Election Day. There is also a really important case involving administrative agencies and Congress's attempt to insulate them from control by the president. These cases, we had one last term. We have another one this term. It's a problem that isn't going away. There are, a number of cases involving free speech and religious freedom that are coming up. So it's definitely an important term.
So Amy Coney Barrett, there's a good chance she is going to be selected, voted on by the Senate, and seated. I'm not sure exactly when, nobody is. But they keep bringing up two things. One is Roe versus Wade, which I think is probably the one they're most concerned about, they being the Democrats. And the second one, of course, is whether or not she will help repeal Obamacare. Let's go with Roe versus Wade, first of all. Is there a chance, in your opinion, if she gets put on the court, that in the next few years, Roe versus Wade might be overturned?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't tell you what states would do, because you first would need a state to pass a law that would contradict Roe v. Wade, and then mm-hmm. that would take time to get up to the Supreme Court. But what I can tell you is that every Supreme Court confirmation in the past 40 years has been treated as though Roe v. Wade is just one vote away from being overturned. I haven't seen that happen in 40 years. If you go back to Sandra Day O'Connor's confirmation in the early 1980s, the last active Roe v. Wade was going to be overturned immediately. And just a couple years ago, when Justice Kennedy retired, a Stanley went on TV and predicted that abortion would be illegal in half the country within 18 months. Well, it's been more than 18 months, and it's not illegal anywhere. So I think that it's a little overblown that people say every time there's a Supreme Court vacancy that Roe v. Wade is on the line.
So you actually lean towards it not being in jeopardy right now. Now, there is such a thing as precedent, keeping something, even if a lot of the justices feel it's incorrect. But then again, we've had cases completely overturned, as you well know, regarding the issue of slavery, because the court had upheld the fact that a black person was only a certain percentage of a white person, believe it or not, at one time. And they did, of course, turn completely around and get rid of that idea. So maybe they could do the same for abortion.
Yeah, that's certainly right, that there is a doctrine of stare decisis where the justice not overturned. Really, really good.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you again, Elizabeth. You are fading in and out quite a bit. I don't know if it's something your cell phone or, but just so you know, would you mind answering that again?
Here.
I think we're losing her. I tell you what we're going to do, Amy. If you can hear me, we're going to re-phone you. Okay, if you don't mind. Because I'm very interested in talking with you about all of this. So let's do this. Let us, I'm going to ask Ed if you wouldn't mind, Ed, and to redial her, and let's see if we can get a better connection. In the meantime, I'm going to read a little bit of news about the Supreme Court, again, if we might. And that is that some people do indeed feel that if Amy Coney Barrett is selected to the Supreme Court, that there is a chance that abortion would ultimately be reviewed once again. And as Elizabeth said, the first thing that has to happen is that a case has to come from the state, which is on its own decided that abortion is something that should not be allowed in their state. Right now, the law says that in all 50 states, that must be the case. Amy, I think, or Elizabeth, I think we've got you back. I apologize. Just talking a little bit more about the abortion situation and the fact that some people do feel that there is a chance over the years that that might be overturned. You made a good point. One of the states indeed has to decide that they want to go their own way and block abortion. Do you think there's a good chance, though, that there will be something like that occurring within the next couple of years?
Well, thanks for having me back. I apologize for technical difficulties.
Now, that happens all the time. Do not worry about it, please.
Well, so one thing that I want to say about the current composition of the court, the only justice who's currently serving, who is on the record saying he thinks Roe v. Wade is wrong and should be overturned, is Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the others have actually, in their record, said definitively how they view that precedent. So we don't know where everyone else is. And, obviously it is an issue that the left cares very deeply about keeping that decision on the books. But again, we would have to see what states do and how those cases kind of percolate through the lower courts and see what ultimately comes up to the Supreme Court.
But you do expect something's going to come. We all believe that something is going to percolate up, don't you?
Well, there certainly have been cases involving abortion up at the court in recent years. There was one out of Louisiana this past term. There was one out of Texas a couple of terms ago. And, you know, a lot of these involve pretty common sense regulations that, you know, states are trying to ensure that clinics are held to the same standards as other kinds of medical facilities and those sorts of things. So I'm not sure. I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't know if we'll see a direct full attack on the underlying case Roe v. Wade and then the later case Casey from 1994. But we may continue to see fighting along the edges like we have in the Louisiana case and the Texas case.
We're talking with Elizabeth Slattery. She is a senior legal fellow at the Pacific Legal Foundation. She is also co-host of DIST. That's a podcast about dissenting opinions at the Supreme Court, a new one, and that sounds like a lot of fun. Elizabeth, John Roberts turned himself into a pretzel, in my opinion, to allow Obamacare to continue. He somehow figured out it was a tax. I don't think he really believed his own ultimate decision. Your comment.
Yeah, I wouldn't presume to know what the Chief Justice believes in his heart of hearts, but it did seem like an interesting argument to adopt in the first Obamacare case when President Obama and his administration had said repeatedly, this is not a tax, this is not a tax, this is not a tax. And then ultimately a bare majority of the court decides that the individual mandate is a tax. Well, as we know, Congress basically got rid of that tax, zeroed it out, and so now that...
So what does it hang on now? What's the legal pin that this thing is hanging on? There isn't one.
That's right. If there is no penalty if you don't get health insurance, then there is no tax under Chief Justice Roberts' theory. So we'll see if he really believed what he wrote when the case comes up. But one thing I want to make clear about the case: a lot of people have said that the entire law is going to come down if the court agrees that this tax zeroed it out and the individual mandate is unconstitutional. I think a majority of the court is going to find that part of the can be the rest of it. We've seen this in other cases. Just last year, there were two important cases involving where the court basically took a red pencil to the statute that they were construing and said, we're going to leave the rest of it in place, but we're going to excise this part of the statute. So I think that is ultimately what would happen if the court rules that the individual mandate is unconstitutional, they're not going to bring down the entire Affordable Care Act.
Right. They're going to allow it to be available, but you don't have to have it if you don't want it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the ball would be back in Congress's court, which is where it should be.
Final question. So we're going to start this session today with eight justices. And I understand, by the way, there's going to be more television exposure. Have you heard anything about that for the justices?
Well, they are having argument by telephone, as they did in the spring in May when they were not able to have live argument, and they are making that live stream of the audio available to the public. And so I think, you know, it went perfectly fine in the spring to do it that way, and they're continuing to do that now.
So besides Roe versus Wade and Obamacare, what would you say would be maybe the most important additional case that might be on their docket?
So if I had to pick one, I would say a case called Collins versus Mnuchin. And this has to do with Congress's ability to insulate agency heads from presidential control. So agencies that Congress creates are generally considered to be part of the executive branch. So that would mean who's the head of the executive branch? The president. The president should be in charge and able to direct and control those individuals. But Congress a lot of times puts in tenure protections so that the president, whoever it is, whether it's the current one or, you know, in the future, is not able to fire the head of an agency unless there are specific reasons are met. And so that's an issue that has come up a number of times before the Supreme Court, including last term with the CFPB. But now there's another agency that's been challenged, the Federal Housing Finance Authority. And so that's coming up this term.
Okay, well, let me save them a lot of time and money. The president can indeed fire the head of any agency under his domain. You guys don't have to get together on that one. That's going to be an easy call, I think, anyway. I want to thank you, Elizabeth, for putting up with us and the phone issues. Really enjoyed talking with you, and I hope we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Elizabeth Slattery. We are going to take our break when we come back. I don't think we'll have any trouble, phone trouble, with the proprietor of the barber pole. And so we will talk with him right after the break.
Wake up. We've both been sound asleep. Wake up, listen, see, and weep.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's
733-3773. It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yeah.
We are back. We are back on a Monday, October the 5th. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We follow a great show, Good Morning Clearwater. And that show's on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, make sure you listen to them. Start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment with Good Morning Clearwater. Well, Joe Biden's lead over President Trump has nearly doubled after Tuesday's debate, with voters saying by a 2-to-1 margin that Biden has the better temperament to be president. Now, this is the NBC News Wall Street Journal report. We have both of the Seracy brothers. They're going to tell me that all these polls are nonsense and that people are hiding their true feelings and all of that. But every single poll is showing Joe Biden ahead. So we've got both Andrew and Angelo. Andrew, I know you're going to tell me that maybe Trump won the debate and blah, blah, blah. But apparently, according to the poll, he did not.
Paul, anybody that wants to put some money on this election right now, I'm available.
You are one confident man. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. It's a bunch of baloney. The Wall Street Journal, NBC, CBS. It's all a bunch of baloney, Paul.
Okay.
Let them talk all they want. Let them think what they want. It was a terrible debate. We both understand that. But the fact of the matter, Biden was still a kakucha, and there Trump lost his temper. Big deal.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's that simple. But like I said, anybody out there want to put some money on this election, I'm ready.
Oh. So, Angelo, you watched the debate. What did you think? Were there two losers? Was one a winner? What do you think?
Well, it wasn't, you know, I wish that Donald Trump had, you know, let him do the talking, because the more that Joe Biden talks, the more he sounds more ridiculous, you know. But what I don't understand is, I mean, when he didn't answer a question or a couple of questions that Chris Wallace posed before him, you know, are you going to pack the Supreme Court? He evaded it, never said. He even said, I'm not going to answer it. And, you know, when he called the president, you clown, shut up, man, this and that. I don't understand how anybody could say that this man has the temperament to be president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was so disrespectful. And then they wonder why, you know, when he said, I'm the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party has disrespected this president from day one.
There's no...
And, I, you know, you see the disrespect, you see the disrespect that people have for this president, I mean, especially the Democrats, it comes from the top and filters down. Then they wonder why, like, even the young people, they see this joker disrespecting the president like he did, then they do the same thing. They say they feel it's okay. How can anybody in their right mind vote for somebody like this? That's why I don't understand.
Well, in two nights, we're going to have another debate, but this time it's going to be for Vice President Mike Pence, Kamala Harris. Do you think the tone will be a little bit different? Let me ask you this first, Andrew. You're going to watch the debate, and secondly, will the tone be different? And thirdly, do you think that Pence will throw Ms. Harris overboard?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that Mike Pence is going to do a great job. As far as this debate goes, how many people are going to be watching the vice president? Because that doesn't matter. You got two professional politicians there this time instead of a professional businessman and a professional politician. Naturally, they're going to act different. They've had their temperament tone since they were in high school politics, okay? But I don't think this one's going to be that big, to be honest with you. Secondly, I think the Trump debate is over with and doesn't even need to be talked about anymore because it's done. It's in the past. And we got to concentrate now on Trump just winning again, period.
Angelo, do you think that Donald Trump will be home this afternoon from the Walter Reed?
I hope so. I think he's doing pretty good, you know. He's showing the public, you know. But, of course, if you go on social media, people say this was all set up, blah, blah, this and that. You know what I'm saying? No matter what the guy does, or if he's sick or not, these people are still, you know.
Oh, yeah, some think he was never sick. Some
right.
think it's a conspiracy and he made it up.
Right.
Get sympathy, show how strong he was to overcome it, the whole bit.
Right, and, you know, now he can say, hey, I mean, hey, I've gone through it, you know, I understand, you know, the people, everything. So, you know, who knows, you know?
Andrew, let me ask you this, Andrew. Now Donald Trump, are we going to see him with a mask in public a little bit more often? What do you think?
You know, Paul, that I've been saying this is overplayed from the beginning.
Yes.
This government was able to convince people that they have no symptoms of being sick, but you're sick. Okay, that just shows me how smart the public really is. Trump's had this, and I say he's going to knock it off in 4 days, which is going to prove that this thing is nothing but baloney and nothing but the flu. Even all these people that, 16 people got it. Let's see how many die from it, number one, out of the White House staff. I say nobody's going to die, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going crazy. This was nothing but the flu, okay? As far as being not a hoax, it was another virus that was out there. Every year we get one, and it's overplayed, and you still got people driving around in their cars with their gloves and their masks on. And I believe they're a bunch of morons.
Now, I want to talk about Florida a little bit. We were delighted to have Paulina Luna on the other day, and thanks to Andrew that who helped grease the skids for that. But it seems like Florida, the Republicans have to win Florida. Trump has to win Florida, or he will not win. Andrew, do you buy into that? Do you think there's any way he could lose Florida?
No, Paul, the enthusiasm is here. You can see it outside.
Right, no, I'm not asking you.
No, he's not going to lose. Paul,
I know that.
I'm still predicting that he is going to take probably 47 states.
I'm not asking you that. If he lost Florida, is he still going to win?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably because he's going to pick up the other states.
Okay.
President Trump is going to win again, okay? All these people that are worried, look at the competition. These people are worried as can be. They know Biden's not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying everything they can, Paul. And I'm telling you, if they try something shifty, you see what's going to happen. You see the people already supporting what's going on in St. Pete. What makes you think the people in this country aren't going to support what's
right.
going on?
So, Angelo.
Yes.
You heard your brother. He's convinced we may win, the Republicans, Trump may win 47 states, including California. He really believes that. Are you on board with that?
I think he's going to win the same states that he won the last time. I think he'll get the electoral vote. And then again, they won't predict that he won because they'll say, now we got to count the mail-in ballots.
Oh, yeah.
And there'll be, and you won't know who was elected until like around December, I'll bet.
Oh, that's going to be scary.
Because these Democrats are going to go through any means to win the election. You heard Nancy Pelosi. She said he will not be returning to the White House. And she means it. She's going to fight, her and Schumer are going to fight tooth and nail because in their warped minds, they think that the Republicans stole the last election, and that they stole the election between Gore and Bush.
Yeah.
Their mindset is so much pathetic or so far off that they'll do anything. Because if you remember, back in 1960, John Kennedy won by 100,000 votes, and that was Mayor Daley from Chicago.
And, yeah, he resurrected the dead to vote.
Right, he resurrected the dead. And Nixon's
Kennedy
campaign said to, we have to challenge it. We have to do this, recount this and that. And Richard Nixon said, I'm not going to put the country through this.
That was a very classy thing to do.
For doing that, for not letting the country do this.
Yeah, right.
So the Democrats have a track record of trying to do this here.
Right. So, Andrew, are you going to go to the polls and vote, or do you trust the mailing for Florida?
Well, I'm not going to mail it in, Paul. I'm going to fill it out, and I'm going to take it to the tax collector's office where they got a vault there and two people standing guard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm planning on doing.
You know,
I might go to the polls after I do that, though. I might go to the polls and see if I can go in and vote again.
I'm going to go in person to vote.
Well, if you got caught doing that, could you be in jeopardy of going right down the street to the Pinellas County Jail?
What are they going to say? You know how many people are going to be doing that?
Well, that's kind of scary.
I'll just say there must have been a mistake on the computer because the computer said that my ballot wasn't received.
Okay, do you want to encourage Democrats to do the same thing?
The Democrats aren't going to do it, Paul. The Democrats are already filling out all their mail-in ballots. They got three of them apiece.
Okay. Angelo, are you going to the polls or are you going to mail it in?
No, I'm going to go to the polls and vote. I've always done that. In fact, for the last couple of years, I was an elections inspector.
Oh, you know? Were?
Yes.
Wow.
And this year I'm not going to do it, though, but I've always been, you know, for probably about 8 years I've been an elections inspector, and I've always voted in person.
Mm-hmm. Angelo, do you feel the way that the governor and New York City's mayor have botched things when it comes to the virus, that maybe the state of New York might vote for Trump? What do you think?
You know, I don't think, even though he botched it, his approval rating is 50-something percent. And that comes from downstate, from
you're talking about the governor.
About the governor, yeah. New York City's another thing into itself. You got Comrade de Blasio down there.
Yes. What's
I
this?
Mean, you know, New York City's always...
What's this thing about him now basically quarantining different neighborhoods in the city to protect and stop the virus from spreading? Could he do that?
Well, I guess he's trying to do that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's several lawsuits going on against the governor and the mayor over there. In fact, our own mayor here in Rochester was just indicted on felony charges.
Really?
He's going to court at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
The mayor of Rochester has been indicted on felony charges?
Yes, sir.
For what?
Tampering with campaign funds and stuff like
no
that.
No kidding.
Yes. Our mayor, Lovely Warren, is going to be brought before the judge.
What is the name of the mayor? I'm sorry.
Lovely Warren. That's the name of the mayor.
Oh, a woman?
A woman.
Okay.
And she's the one that threw Chief Singletary under the bus.
Yes.
These riots.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Gotta watch that story.
Little karma.
I'll tell you what. Andrew, there any chance either in St. Pete or in Tampa we could find something under the mattress about either one of those mayors and throw them under the bus? What do you think?
Well, we don't have to throw them under the bus. The people here in St. Pete and the people in surrounding areas that go to St. Pete are fed up with this guy.
Wow.
They're all saying get rid of Christman and get rid of...
Rick Christman, the mayor of St. Petersburg.
And Mayor Castrated over there in Tampa. They need to get rid of both of them. They're both kneeling down with the people. Come on. People are fed up with this, Paul. They don't like it.
Yeah.
Even the blacks don't like it.
Well, I think you make a good point. You know what? I had fun talking to you two. It is always a pleasure, Angelo, to have you on. I want to thank you. And, of course, Andrew, I'll be talking with you again tomorrow. I tell you what. Fasten your seatbelts, gentlemen. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Oh, it sure is.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Paul, you have a good day, buddy.
All right.
Have a good day, Paul.
You too, my friend. I like those two. They're fun to talk to. They really are. They're opinionated, and they're both quite energetic. All right. We are going to take our break, and when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about what is going on with Florida and the lurch to the left of many of the Democrats.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., We'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine magazine and Bon Appetit magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work.
Yeah, Blue Monday. Well, I don't know. It's getting cooler around here. It's also still humid. I kind of enjoy the lower temperatures here in Tampa Bay. Well, apparently, the Vice President and Kamala Harris will be putting a little more distance between themselves for their debate, about 12 feet to be exact, instead of the original planned 7 feet. I guess the extra 5 feet may make a difference. That'll be Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to watching that debate. I think it could be just as interesting, if not more interesting. You got to remember, Kamala Harris is very, very far left. And Mike Pence is considered very, very conservative. So we have extremes that will be debating. I think it'll be kind of interesting. In the meantime, here in Florida, I do believe that for Trump to win the presidency again, he's got to win Florida. He's just got to. So I want to talk a little bit from a report on the Federalist about Democrats who are facing an issue here in a must-win battleground, 29 electoral votes, critical swing state. No path to the White House for Trump without Florida. Recent polling shows Democrats having a tough time, and the reason is the Hispanics, once a reliable group for Democrats, because here in Florida there are so many Cubans, and Cubans, there is no other group in Florida that opposes socialism, I think, more than the Cubans. And they will vote, I'd say 80-85% for Donald Trump. Trump is expected to capture overall 36% of the Hispanic vote across the country. Well, he's going to probably capture more than half the Florida Hispanic vote. And that, in fact, he may get a higher percentage of the Hispanic vote this year, which will help him. It'll help him a lot. So right now, an NBC Marist poll shows Hispanic voters going 50% for Trump to 46% for Joe Biden. While Trump has got to continue to maintain or increase that Hispanic vote, if he possibly can. I think it's going to be critical. All right, there you go. Before we get to our top 10, we have a good one, by the way, I want to ask our guru sports reporter here, Big Ed. We got the Tampa Bay Rays playing, wow, the New York Yankees. I'm all excited. Tell us, who's going to win this series?
It's tough. I know I'd like to win, but it's tough. I don't know. I it's a toss-up.
You think so?
The only thing that I think will help is that it's a neutral site.
It is.
Some of the young guys on the Rays won't be intimidated by Yankee Stadium, and of course there's no fans. So it's just two ball clubs
Where
going
are
after
they playing
each other.
It?
They're in San Diego.
Okay. Okay.
And where the Padres play. So, and I understand the field would favor the Rays. It's a nice, whatever the surface. I know the surface is natural grass, but they were just saying that the field would favor the Rays.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Like I said, I as long as they're not intimidated, they just go out and play what they got to play. And the Yankees have put up some big numbers in the last few weeks or so, but they played a lot of clubs with no pitching. and that amounts to a lot of runs.
I think so. I'm going to say the Rays are going to win the series. Is it best of five?
It is.
Okay.
And there are 8 o'clock games tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday would be 7 o'clock, and if need be, Thursday and Friday would also be 7 o'clock.
I'm excited for the Tampa Bay Rays. All right. It is time for our top 10. We did the best colleges for free speech on Friday. So, Ed, let's try the worst top 10 colleges for free speech. This is from Real Clear Education, by the way. Here we go. Number 10, Harvard. Very liberal, of course.
Mm-hmm.
49.6% rating out of 100 for free speech. All right, number 9, Wake Forest University. Wow. In North Carolina, 49.4% for free speech. Number 8, Georgetown. Now, that's a Catholic university in Washington, D.C. Shame on them. They should be big time on free speech. Number 7, Brigham Young. What? Now, I would have thought Brigham Young, which is Mormon area in Utah, Brigham Young University would tolerate free speech. I wonder if it's because of the Mormon heritage there.
And pretty
they
tight.
Clamp down a little bit on religion, do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, maybe so. 49.2%. Number 6, Oklahoma State. Now, this one really did surprise me. Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, it's a conservative state. I would imagine there would be a lot of Trump supporters. I mean, the faculties are always liberal. But I would have been surprised to see that. They're at 49%. All right, number 5, Syracuse University in New York. Not too surprising to me, 48.9%. Number 4, Dartmouth College. Now, that's an Ivy League school, kind of like Harvard, I guess, in many ways, only more so, 48.6%. Number 3, this is another one that kind of surprises me. Louisiana State University. By the way, they always have a good... Do they have a good football team there this
Who?
Year? And you're not looking and listening. LSU, Louisiana State University.
Well, yeah, they won the national championship last year.
Well, then
they
have a good football team.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Well, all right. Well, they also have a very limited free speech situation there. 47.9%. My goodness. Number 2. UT Austin, that's University of Texas, Austin. Another one that surprises me. What's going on down south with free speech? I mean, why is it that some place like that would not allow free speech? I guess because Austin is a liberal town. It's a growing town and a little bit liberal. But they're at 44.5%. All right, I know you don't know, and I wouldn't have guessed this either.
Okay.
Roll the drum. DePaul. Now, that's not DePaul in Chicago. It's DePaul in Indiana. It's DePauw University. They come down at 44.2%. I don't know why. It'd be interesting to check into that, but there you go. Thank you so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday, at 10 a.m. Eastern. Always remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. President Trump, who says he's learned a lot about the coronavirus.